This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, where we like to focus on the experiences we have in our theaters. Once your theater's all up and running, let's talk about all the fun that we have. My name's DJ, and you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to me and anybody else in this great community by leaving comments on the website at brightsidehometheater.com. There's places for comments underneath all of the episodes and under all the featured theaters. We don't have a featured theater this week, but there's plenty there. Let me re-say that for Tom Andrew, who makes fun of my squeaky voice as I go through puberty. We don't have any home theaters this week, but there are plenty of theaters there to be featured for you guys to leave comments, and we got a few comments this week. Thank you. If you haven't left a comment or you want to check out the theaters, go to the website and just click on featured theaters, and there's plenty of great theaters there if you'd like to have your theater featured there, and I'll talk about it in the podcast. Just email me again at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com and give me a description, send me pictures, whatever you'd like. I believe I added some this week. Steve George was one of them. I added some pictures to his fantastic media room that he has that is just, his room, his media room, not even the theater, just the media room where he keeps his media is so clean. And definitely check that out on there. Leave him a comment that he's a little OCD, and as he admits himself, but I'm the same way, and it's great. It actually plays very well for the aesthetics of a theater to have a little bit of OCD. But this week in my theater has been pretty quiet. I watched a few movies myself, had some fun. I watched, aside from jumping around everywhere, I watched Jack Reacher, had fun with that. Messed around with the Zapedi a little bit more. I think next week I'm going to do the Zapedi podcast. It's getting shorter instead of longer, but I'll explain that a little bit later. Maybe next week you'll hear it. There's only so much I can talk about, if you know what I mean. But I'm really having a blast with it. I am going to be putting out a very short YouTube video regarding the Zapedi and how far I've come over the years. That should be a little bit of fun. But this week for new Twitter followers, slow week, actually lost 5 followers, but I'm not worried about that. It's just, I think, how things work. But we did pick up Steve Ratcliffe. So not only being a new Twitter follower, he then DM'd me and he said, "Oh my God, Twister, thank you. Ordered it after going back and listening. How did I not have this in my collection? Thanks again. Love the show." And thanks, Steve. I really appreciate that. I love all the emails that I get, all the DMs, the well wishes. If they don't directly pertain to the show, I'll just keep them to myself. But I appreciate everybody, all their thanks and everything. As far as Twister goes, it is a great, great disc. It's a great Blu-ray to listen to. It's so much fun. As I said in that podcast, it must have been a fun time for the sound engineers because there's nothing that you can compare it to, so they can't be wrong with whatever sounds they put in there. And that's one that a lot of us look forward to someday getting a 4K restoration and like an Atmos or a DTS:X mix. That with that object-based mix, you could do so much fun, have so much fun, and upgrade that sound. It would be a lot of fun. But thanks for that. Movies and scenes of the week, the experiences other people have had. So from WV Brew on Twitter, he said, "Midnight Sky, quote, you must have a subwoofer to enjoy this. There are at least 3 demo-worthy scenes. When I say demo-worthy, I'm talking like official Dolby Atmos demo-produced, like Nature's Fury, Leaves, etc. I thought the movie was great," end quote. And he gave us some scenes. And I went and I checked out these scenes at 32 minutes and 38 seconds. It's a windstorm. And yeah, it's the in this scene in particular, it's like it's going around your room. It's a pretty cool windstorm. But he's right. You need subwoofer or subwoofers to get a good effect out of this movie, because there's a lot of nice deep rumbles that come up from underneath you and you'll feel them in your seat. Some of it's the score. It's throughout the movie, really. Some of it's the score. Some of it's the scenes. It's really, really cool. But in this windstorm, there is almost like a low growl underneath that does ramp up here and there. Definitely put it up to reference level. If you're not at reference level, you're not probably going to get the full effect, I don't believe, out of that scene. At 54 minutes and 50 seconds, surprise. And this is an action scene. No spoilers, but it's an action scene here. And George Clooney's one of the characters in the movie. But George Clooney, I should say, plays one of the characters. He's trying to get through a situation here, but there's a lot of great discreet sound around your room. Again, great bass rumbles coming up from underneath. And then at 1 hour even, demo-worthy windstorm, as WV Brew labeled it. And it is. It's just like that the early windstorm, but this is just ramped up with even more deep bass coming in from underneath. At 1 hour, 7 minutes even, flying in the dark. And I named that one. He just sent me the link as an extra one. And it is great. There's a lot of great discreet sounds. They're dealing with a situation in space and they're just being bombarded, and your room is being bombarded. And there's some great bass included with that as well. And at 1 hour, 12 minutes even, this one he titled Helmets On. And if you go to the 1 hour and 12 minute mark and the helmets come on, you're probably going to be like, huh, like I was, what does this mean? Let it play out. Because there is a fantastic scene shortly after that. Even the scene with the helmets on, there's not a lot of great bass, but they're putting their helmets on in space, and there's a slight voice change, which is always cool when they're talking with the helmet off and then the helmet goes on. That's kind of cool. But then they get outside the ship, and there's a fantastic scene here with bass and Dolby Atmos overhead. This is my favorite scene out of the five that he sent over. This one here. So the ship, there's a ship that goes over you, but very slowly, and it engages your overhead speakers. It engages your bass really nice. And it feels like that rumble is going over you, but obviously it's not. It's a trick how they're doing it sound wise. It's an awesome scene. That's my favorite of all of the scenes. Definitely check that one out. Even if you haven't seen the movie, like when I checked these out, I hadn't seen the movie, so I wasn't really sure. I just wanted to get through it, but I wanted to check out these scenes. I don't believe these scenes spoiled the movie for me, so you can check them out and just make sure, which great is I have an Apple TV, so you can just slide right to the scenes. It's really cool. So WV Brew, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun. If you have any suggestions, scenes that you've seen this week, let me know. Doesn't have to be a recommendation for a movie, just a scene that really, you know, blew up your room and you had a lot of fun with it. Send it in to me, email it to me, or DM me on Twitter. Either way would be great. I will include it in my notes as the week goes out, and hopefully remember to talk about it in the podcast too. But I will post it on the website as well. It's in the show notes and on the website. Everything I just spoke about Midnight Sky will be all there. Okay, let's get to some Twitter and email comments this week. Graham Cole on Twitter, quote, So first thing I got an SB2000 during the sale and wanted to rewatch some favorites. Second, I was listening to Brightside HT year wrap-up episode, and Lucy was high on the list. Lucy was very impressive, audio track for sure. Cool gun scenes. So my next thought was to watch Heat. And then he sent a second tweet, said, "Heat was very disappointing in the bass. The gunshot sounds in the streets with all the echoes was amazing. Has any of the remastered versions improved the lack of bass? I think Heat was way ahead of its time and would have been a much better movie audio-wise today at Brightside HD." End quote. And I looked into it, and from what I understand, there is no real upgrade in the sound. From different websites that have featured and reviewed it. I think it's pretty much the same audio track from what I gathered. That would be a great movie to get a 4K with a Dolby, you know, with a upmix in sound. It doesn't even have to be Atmos or a DTS:X, but a new soundtrack would be good for that. The problem with that movie is it's not high on a lot of people's lists because it's such a long movie. And it's so drawn out with, it's very dialogue heavy, and it does have some great action scenes. I believe I own this on Laserdisc, and for that reason, I love that end scene, the shootout in the street. It has some great action scenes, but they're so far apart and so dialogue driven that it doesn't lend itself. It's not a movie that a lot of people go to for a home theater experience. You know, it's just a great movie in itself. So I don't know if it's really getting the push to get something like that, to get a great upgrade and sound and everything. But we as theater fans would love that because, one, we do jump to those scenes to replay them just for fun. And it is a great movie. So it's kind of in that ballpark, whereas a lot of people, I think, just would watch this at home on their TV and go, hey, that was just a great movie. They're not really looking for that. But maybe someday, somebody's listening to this podcast right now is like, you know, we got to get that done. And they'll upgrade it for us. Okay, we have Adriano the Nerd on Twitter tweeting about last week's episode. Just got done watching part one of Fellowship. Absolutely spectacular, and this is just the beginning of grander things to come. And yeah, I mean, I'm very much looking forward to doing a deep dive on part two. And that's what I was telling people this week as they, you know, I got comments on, oh, wow, you just did half or whatever. And I was like, yeah, and I loved it, and I went a deep dive on it. But at the same time, I haven't even gotten to the action yet in that movie. So I'm really looking forward to that. We have an email from Carl about Panasonic and Klipsch bringing Atmos to cars. Just what I need, in-ceiling speakers for my podcast, because that's the first thing I thought when I read this article that Carl sent. It was basically Klipsch and Panasonic are working on bringing, you know, they're not talking about pod, they're talking about music and object-based sound for music. I used to be a big car guy for sound. I did the installs. I did all of the, it's all part of this whole hobby, right? And I had the 12 disc changer back in the day and all the fun stuff, but it's such a unique environment to be putting all of that money into your sound because you're really just trying to eliminate like engine noise, wind noise, all of these things when it's like you'd be much better served to putting your money into a better environment, you know, like going home and listening to this stuff. It's more about just like, just blast the music and have some fun. But for me, that you're driving around, do you really need object-based sound? I get it. I'd probably do it myself, but it just seems like a weird environment to really be focusing on something like the cleanest, best sound or whatever. So that's just my two cents. Steve George on Twitter at Brightside HT. Hey DJ, just listening to this week's podcast regarding Midway. I didn't mean to negatively impact on your enjoyment of it. It's all just differing opinions. All are, of course, valid. And as you know, you sold me on Lucy 100%, not on my phone. Thanks, Steve. No, so maybe if I wasn't 100% clear last week, that was the point, is that learning that different opinion and then having the opportunity to actually, the learning experience was not that I know everybody has different opinions, but the learning experience for me was first was Steve pointed out what he didn't like. And I went back and was actually able to see it. Not so much the acting issues that he had, but the technical issues with the what he saw on the screen. And I don't even think he had an issue with sound because it's a fantastic sounding disc. But I was able to see what he didn't like. He didn't like some of the green screen stuff and some of the grain. And I was able to see that. And the learning experience, to rehash it just slightly again, it was, that's who I am. It's like, I let that stuff go because I had so much fun with that movie. I really enjoyed it, and I just let it wash over me. So that's the idea, and that's why I came up with this podcast, and that's why I came up with the title Bright Side way, way back when, even when John and I started Bright Side Chat. The idea was, people are bashing on stuff that I really enjoy and I don't understand why. And it was getting into this nitty gritty and getting into, and now talking to you guys and getting your responses back. Even if you disagree with me, it doesn't mean that either one of us is wrong. It's, we all draw from pieces of art in different ways. And that one just spoke to me differently. I just had so much fun with it that I chose to ignore the negatives. And that's kind of what I do with a lot of this stuff. And I'm very much into home theater, and people that really love movies and movie making, sometimes they'll pick on a movie that I'll really love, but I'll ignore the stuff they're saying. Not what they're saying, but the facts that they're saying, I'll ignore those facts because I'm having so much fun with something else on it. And it's just how art speaks to different people. So, you know, that was basically a learning experience for me, in that I love these movies so much. And I've never really thought about it in that way. So that's 2 weeks I've now spoke on that. So kind of explaining myself to you guys. All right, let's move on from that then. We have an email from John M. He sent me pictures of a system that have Macintosh amps. And then we went back and forth a few times. And basically he laid out the speakers across the front are $20,000 each. We kind of just laughed. And I said to him, I'm like, do you really think there's that much of a difference in sound? It reminds me of a story, actually, of when I, back in the 90s, and I was talking to a guy that he would do installs, and somebody came in and said, sky's the limit, I want a home theater. And they're like, no, you got to give me a budget. And people don't understand how expensive this stuff can get and how much money you can lay out. But as the guys at HT guys and AV Rant say, it's like, you could spend a ton of money, but the higher up you go, the less improvement you get. You know, it's crazy, crazy money. But if you have crazy money, then why not? And I do think that there is a level of it becomes the speaker itself becomes a piece of art, where the not necessarily is that money put into the actual sound, but it's put into the looks and the aesthetics of the actual speaker, the different woods and finishes and all that. But for $20,000 for a speaker, I really don't see how much of a difference that would be from a $10,000 speaker or a $5,000 speaker. It's like, really, what are you doing? Unless it's to fill an auditorium as opposed to one of our rooms, but this wasn't an auditorium. It was a living room. So I thought it was an interesting, they were cool pictures, but I thought it'd be interesting to talk about here. All right. That brings us to this week's featured movie, because we don't have a theater to feature. So we're going to go right to the movie this week. And I wanted to have some fun and go back to 1980s and have some fun with a mindless Arnold Schwarzenegger, have fun, leave your brain at the door and chew on some popcorn, and Predator. Oh, that hits all the buttons. So let's play the trailer and then we'll come back and I'll talk all about Predator.
We are a rescue team, not assassins. Now, what are we gonna do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trail at the chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there. What do you mean we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime,
Jen.
Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the Ultimate Warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man. They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother of God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took him.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
He was skinned alive!
It hunts for sport.
He's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
That is by far the most 80s trailer I have heard in a while. That's a riot. All right, Predator. In 4K, by the way, I forgot to mention that. So in 4K from 1987, it has DTS Master Audio 5.1. But I thought I'd mention this, because later on I actually do a comparison. I upmix my 5.1s to, in this case, DTS HD plus Neural X. So I'm getting full engagement of my room. We'll get into that in a little bit. But just to let you know, all of the 5.1 stuff, I'm upmixing because I want full engagement in my room. But all right, Predator in 4K. Picture. I don't know what other reviews have said. I kind of avoided that for this. In this case, the picture to me has never looked this good. I can't wait to get to some of the scenes. Spoiler free for those of you out there that haven't seen Predator yet. Maybe you haven't. It's that old. Maybe you haven't. I recommend it. First off, it's just fun. Don't get mad at me if you don't like the story, if you find holes in the plot, or whatever it is. But it is just a fun home theater movie where... It's you just have a lot of fun. Your room is going to go boom. And there are some quiet scenes when we get to the sound. We'll talk about that. But the picture I thought was fantastic because the jungle has never looked this good. I love the haze and the humidity. I'm probably going to be talking about that a lot as we go through some of these scenes. And the lush greens of a jungle and all of the shades in between. There were some really nice deep blacks, plenty of detail, and especially for an 80s movie. I found myself saying throughout this is an 80s movie, but it looked that good to me. It was very grainy to start. So I found that like a couple of weeks ago when I watched Karate Kid, when I first started out, like the logo and everything, it just seemed very grainy. And you're like, oh boy, but it evens out. And there are spots where you can pick out some grain even later in the movie. For the most part, I thought it was really, really good. And again, I can't get over all the smokes, the humidity or whatever it is, the atmosphere. It was so nicely done. The HDR, if that's the case, if that's what did it in this case, it was just really, really nice. I really enjoyed the picture in this better than I've ever seen. And the sound could probably be a little bit better for your deep bass. It didn't have that extra deep extension that you really want. And there are a couple of scenes I'm going to mention that really didn't get down as low as you want. But for a 5.1 mix from that hasn't really been upmixed much, they haven't really done much, even with this 4K disc. It doesn't feel like they did a lot of restoration in the sound. It still is a lot of fun. Yes, a DTS:X or an Atmos, an upgrade in sound where we would implement a deeper bass, it would add a lot more of a dynamic sound to this movie. So it's kind of lacking there. But this movie, as you go through, there are a lot of quieter times, they're in the jungle, they're hunting, they're looking for stuff, they're trying to be quiet and secretive. So there is a lot of nice, discreet ambient sounds that complement the quote unquote 80s action that you do get throughout this movie. It's not a total loss in sound. I really, really did enjoy the sound of this movie. And that's why, to me, it is a fun movie to own. You could probably pick it up for really cheap. I haven't looked. I'm not here to sell movies, but I'm here to tell you, I really enjoyed it. And it's definitely, to me, if you're a fan of 80s movies, this is kind of a must own because it's one of the classics. Okay. The popcorn's popping. It's time to get to the spoilers if you haven't seen this movie. I don't want to spoil anything. It's called Predator. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. But here we go. Let's get to it. And when I say it, I'm saying the opening scene. Fairly simple. And like I said, lots of grain like the Karate Kid. But there was a nice low bass rumble in space, but nothing you can feel because the movie starts and you're in space. But there's nothing ever came up into my seat. Throughout this entire movie, nothing you could feel in your seat. No vibrations, no punches in the chest, nothing like that. But there was a nice little bass rumble that was more audibly loud than it was, you know, deeper where you can feel it. Slight feel to the bass as the helicopter comes in. Very, very slight. The score is really nice though. Fills the room and different instruments are placed around the room too, mostly towards the front. But the music feels to move back and forth. And then as the helicopter leaves, as this opening scene kind of ends, the helicopter leaves towards the right. It's a really nice touch because it takes off on the right side. So you actually hear it go up on the right and then leave off to the right. So that was pretty cool. But again, the bass just didn't get deep enough. But when I say like the music feels like it moves back and forth, the different instruments and the bass and the different notes, they'll bounce back and forth across the front of your room. Sometimes they'll go around your room a little bit, but not a ton. But my room was filled with sound. It did a nice job of like making me feel like I was surrounded. At 4 minutes and 52 seconds, fans, that's with a question mark. Listen to the sound in the background here as Dutch, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Dylan and Carl Weathers talking about the mission. And you can hear what I can only imagine is it's supposed to be the ceiling fan spinning around, but it's not really consistent enough, or it doesn't sound mechanical enough to be a fan and the swirling wind. It sounds more like somebody recorded somebody erasing something off of a piece of paper. It's really weird. Check it out. It's like a bad job by the sound designer to say, all right, let's put some sound in here and make it sound like a fan. And it's more of a but that's not what a fan would sound like. A fan would be like, you know, like going around in the air. It would be more consistent and more repetitive. This had like a code to it, it sounded like. And it was like they recorded something and then just put it on repeat on a loop. And it just wasn't consistent enough. It was weird. Check it out and let me know what you think it might be in the scene. Because I watched the scene a bunch of times to see what it could possibly be if it's not the ceiling fan. Like, what else do they have going? Like, a printer going back and forth? I have no idea. It was a weird sound. And, of course, I'm listening at reference level. I checked to see if it was anything else in my room. I watched the scene multiple times to make sure it wasn't something else going. It was weird. At 6 minutes and 30 seconds, inbound. So, Long Tall Sally by Little Richard bursts into your room and it is fantastic. It just comes on really hard too. It almost hurts, but it is awesome. I loved it. Then it settles nicely into the background, still very prominent, but mixed nicely with all the other sounds of like being in a flying helicopter, the rotor blades seemingly overhead, and the DTS master audio, like the DTS mix versus the Neural X mix, the upmixing, it was an interesting comparison here. This is where I did the comparison of that, because what I really liked was how the rotor blades actually sounded like they were over my head with the Neural X upmixing. And the straight DTS 5.1 was nice, but the rotor blades, they were overhead, but they were at the front of the room. It felt like it was over your head towards the front of your room. But then when I switched to Neural X, it actually pulled that sound of the rotor blades back over my head. And I went back and forth a few times on this scene just to listen. And even in the middle, changed it right in the middle of the scene. And I would be willing to bet that if you're just listening to the standard master, you know, DTS mix, you would think that it was overhead, maybe a little too, it would sound great. It's not until you compare it with the AB that you really get that sense overhead. And what I'm wondering is, I'm wondering if it's having those, I have two rear channels. I'm wondering if that's what helps it pulled it to the back. Obviously, having four overheads helps in that case too. But I think the way this kind of pulled it back, having that sound behind me and having the Neural X utilize every speaker in my room, I'm wondering if that really helped as well. I also felt that the room sounded more spacious with the Neural X up mixing. The sound felt more balanced throughout the room and not as front heavy. So the DTS mix, definitely more front heavy. And I thought the Neural X made it sound more natural and put sounds all around my room, not in a bad way, in a very natural way. I really liked the mix that way. And then I actually shut it. I changed. Typically, I listen to my stuff in game mode where it's a more discreet sound. And then instead of the theater mode, which gives you a little bit more dispersion of your sound, so it gives you a bigger room sound, I actually switched it to theater mode. I didn't like that one at all. In either of the DTS mix or the Neural X upmixing, I didn't like it at all. It felt too much. It felt like too much blending of the sound. But when I put it back into game mode and getting more discrete sound out of each of my speakers, everything felt more localized. I felt like I had a better sense of the room, but the room did feel bigger than just straight DTS. So just thought that was a cool comparison. And also in this scene, the red lighting inside the helicopter felt more detail and depth. So I thought that the darker scenes in the helicopter had more detail in them than I've seen in the past, even though it was pretty much monochromatic with the red. And then, of course, they're flipping back and forth going outside the helicopter and you're getting the green and the drab green helicopters. And then you're going back in and you're getting the red again. That was a pretty cool effect. But it could be, I mean, all the difference here could be because I haven't seen this movie. I don't think I've seen this with my new projector, and I don't, which means I haven't seen this in 4K. So very much could have been like just having that new projector makes all of this nicer too. But the disc to me was just, it was very impressive. Moving to 11 minutes and 28 seconds, Jungle. Love the jungle looks and the haze and the humidity. This is one of those scenes where plenty of shades of gray and green and black, and it's evident throughout the movie, but here it is the first time we really see it like this, and it almost makes like a 3D effect. The way the haze slash fog moves across the screen, the depth of field you get as the view gets hazier, the further away you look, the further the shot is, I mean, it's wild, and the foreground is darker. And what I was reminded of here is, like, remember, I'm not a big fan of the opening or of Solo. In the opening of that, I felt like the black levels weren't very good. There's not enough dark in that, deep blacks in those scenes. I felt like the movie, that pressing wasn't very good. I don't like that disc as much. And this is a good example of why. Because the haze on your screen can be atmospheric, but when it's so consistent across your screen and all of your black levels are reduced and you don't get a deep black as a reference, then everything, it just, that sets it at that level. It's like you just added white into all the black throughout the movie. Like that's how I feel in Solo. But in this one, there's a lot of scenes where it's all washed out and hazy, but it's supposed to be because that's what the atmosphere looks like. That's the humidity of the jungle. But then when they pull in tight, that blacks get deeper, that the shadows you can see, they're jet black. It looks so good. And the same with the colors. The haze goes over the colors and you get a hazier look of the colors. But as you zoom in on them, they become more vibrant because there's less humidity between you and the item that you're looking at, whether it's a tree or an actor's face, whatever it is. So I thought that's to me sums up like this entire disc. It was so much fun going through. I'll talk about even towards the end when we get to Arnold and he's facing off against the Terminator. I knew I was going to say that. The Predator. At 15 minutes and 15 seconds, Birds. Billy hears something off to the left and so do we. Clear as day, there's a bird flapping on the left side of the room and Billy makes his way over to it. He's crawling through. He's like, I thought the soundtrack made some great use of the quieter times. That's what I'm talking about here. Billy hears that noise, but the jungle's really quiet, but then they make it really loud and really bringing out the ambient sounds of the jungle, like the birds and insects all around your room. Plus, we get the first sound of the Predator as Billy's crawling up to it. Nice echo to it off to the left as well. But all this quiet is setting up a cool jump scare as Billy finds the skinned bodies, pretty much. We're in spoilers here. But he crawls up to it, and you're just hearing like that one bird off to the side. But then when he sees it, it's just your room comes alive. You get the bright red skinned bodies. Ugh. It was really, really cool. But I love a good pan, and it's off to the left and made me look off to the left. And of course, the guy on the screen, Billy, he looked off to the left too. At 18 minutes and 35 seconds, Predator view. Here we get to see what the Predator sees for the first time. And the room sounds really cool. Kind of like in last week's episode when I'm talking about Frodo and he went into like that view where he put the ring on. Your room completely changes. The sound dynamics of your room changes. It becomes more diffuse. You hear some more mechanical noises because we're seeing the Predator view like we're inside the helmet. You jump from the jungle scene and the jungle sounds, and then you go inside the helmet with, like I said, which is more diffuse. But the jungle sounds are more discreet. So that was pretty cool. But also the heat vision view on the screen that you're seeing, that felt more detailed and had more depth to it in the 4K disc, because I felt like the best way I could describe it, if you haven't seen this disc yet, these scenes, the Predator views, they felt like, remember those old paintings or drawing, whatever you call them, where you had to refocus your eyes and you could get a 3D view? That's what these scenes looked like, because not only was there more depth, so like the heat-seeking characters, the heat of the characters moving under the brush, that had a depth to it, looked further away. But pay attention to the foliage, which is supposed to be the cool. That's all the bluer stuff on the screen. It was actually sliding by each other, which I never noticed before. And it actually had more. It created that 3D effect, even though the screen is pretty much monochromatic because it's all blue if it's not heated. I just thought it was really cool. And you'd have to watch the scenes a couple of times to check that out. But every time I did, I saw a different foliage passing in front of each other. And that's just blues, darker blues on top of lighter blues. So I thought that was pretty cool. At 24 minutes and 40 seconds, showtime. No bullets were spared in the making of this scene. This is total 80s fun. Lots of fun. Lots of gunfire, lots and lots of gunfire, lots of explosions and men flying through the air. Apparently, you know, in the 80s, they had a run on trampolines. So everybody was buying them and jumping up in the air like they got exploded, because that's what all of these scenes are. All around your room, too. You had explosions going all around you, all different kinds of guns. You could hear different kinds of guns shooting. The enemies shooting one kind of gun. Each of the members of Arnold's team have different guns, grenade launchers going off. Everyone, nobody's aiming. Everybody's shooting from the hip, and they're just letting it rip. They're just pulling the trigger, and it doesn't matter because this is an 80s movie. You can't run out of ammo. Textbook 80s. And the amount of ammo they used, this is one of the things. We said this in the 80s. The amount of ammo they used, you couldn't have hauled in just for this one scene alone. Just think of like these guns, how much ammo they shoot in a second, and they're just letting it go for minutes at a time. But the sound and picture, it's just so much fun. I thought the explosions were brighter. I thought the detail in the shadows and the smoke, the black billowing smoke from some of these scenes, some of the explosions were so good. And the sound is completely enveloping, as I say, all around your room. Just this scene is such a blast to experience. And like I said, the picture had more clarity and gradations. It makes it really look really cool and definitely worth watching multiple times because it's just so much fun. They just lay into these guys. They just bust into a room and, you got whatever machine gun on his hip. And it's such a contrast to action movies now, like even a John Wick, where he'll come up and he'll cap a guy with like, he'll hit him in the knees and then he'll shoot him in the head, or he'll shoot him in the chest and shoot. But it's like two or three shots, like boom, 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 done. I'm done with that guy. It's more precise now. Everything, even all action movies just seem more precise now. Whereas in the 80s, it's like you just stormed into a room. It's you and one guy. But you just fired from the hip and unloaded on that guy. Just absolutely unloaded. And it wasn't like just two shots to put him down. It was just use everything you've got in the magazine. It was a blast. At 34 minutes and 16 seconds, anytime, we go back inside the Predator's helmet again. And he's mimicking or playing back a recording of the men's voices. And it's a nice use of reverb, but also how the voices move around the front stage and also seemingly float in the room too, because it's he's listening and looking, so you're getting that movement around the room. And then at the end, there's a nice clear anytime off to the left of the screen. Just a really cool use, and I'll be bringing that up again later. That one anytime will come up again later. At 47 minutes and 28 seconds, just unloads. Now, this is where they really unload everything. So that scene I talked about two scenes ago, Showtime, this is the entire team, and they're firing everything. The minigun, the grenade launchers, every gun they have, just shooting into the jungle, cutting down trees. This scene is why we have theaters, to me. This is like, I want my room to go boom. And your room is going boom over and over. Just pure testosterone. Leave your brain at the door and listen to your room go boom. Just chew on popcorn. It's just so much fun. Just an absolute thrill ride of audible fun. I don't care how accurate it is. It's just a blast. And they're just like, I'm thinking of all the sounds just sitting here talking to you guys right now. And you hear the machine guns going, but then you'll hear boom, boom. Because from the grenade launchers going and explosions happening, and it not to bring this down, because I did put two boxes of popcorn on this because it is so much fun. And I'll bring, my son will come down. I'll be like, check out this scene. And I know where it is now. 47 minutes, 28 seconds. But imagine if this scene had that extra bass extension. Imagine when those grenade launchers went foom. And you could feel the explosion. It just would have been, it would be so nice if this could ever get like an upgrade in sound. And it doesn't have to be an object-based sound. Just deeper extension in the bass would be really, really fun. At 57 minutes, this one got one box of popcorn. I call this one Mac. And it gets one box of popcorn for me because this is the picture I posted online of Bill Duke's character Mac. It's just a close-up of him, and he's doing his monologue, his tribute to his buddy, who was played by Jesse Ventura. And this here, it's just a fantastically lit scene. But speaking of Jesse Ventura, it's I remember sitting in the theater, and when the credits rolled for this, it was weird seeing that it was Jesse Ventura. I think this was the first time I'd ever seen him, or a lot of us had ever seen him, because I remember it was a quick conversation that he wasn't Jesse the Body Ventura from the WWF, which at the time, now it's WWE. But yeah, it was pretty weird seeing him not referred to as the Body. And he went legit here in this movie, you know, Jesse Ventura. But anyways, back to this scene. He gets killed and Mac is reminiscing about him talking, doing his monologue into the moonlight. And the picture is just great. Like I said, check this out at 57 minutes. The sweat glistening in the moonlight off of his face and his head. The deep blacks and the shadow behind him. So like the further away the jungle got, the deeper the blacks. But the tree behind him has some tone and some gray tones to it. The gun that he's holding up, that has a tone and a texture to it. The metal. But his face, and the highlights of the sweat glistening off of him, and the deep blacks in his eyeballs, and like the irises of his eye are deep black, but then there's that the moonlight is reflecting off of his eyes too. So you have that really sharp, bright white right in the middle of his eyes reflecting the moonlight. Just so much detail, and it's just such a nicely shot scene. And then we get a quick sound to our right as Mac looks, and then a flare goes off and Mac kills a pig. It's like very quickly, but if you're watching that scene, it changes very quickly into that quick action scene is just a boar as in the animal, not a boredom, like boring scene. But I really love that scene. Definitely check that out if you have the disc, but I posted the picture online too. I did my best to get a good picture of it, but it doesn't do it justice. It looks really, really nice. Well shot scene for a dark scene like that with just moonlight as your light source. It was really cool. At 1 hour, 6 minutes and 34 seconds, it's a trap. They set up camp and set a trap. Very quiet leading up to this, but then the trap is sprung and there's some cool bass and rumble in gunfire. Plenty of screaming too, and that's why I'm making note of this, which I thought was really funny, because it's at the beginning of the scene, you have Arnold walking through the trip wires very carefully. And then he, of course, in true, you know, action movie fashion, his shoulders rest and he's like, huh, I guess there's nothing. Then the trap is sprung and I guess they grab the predator, but listen to the scream when he gets pulled up into, he sounds like a person, like he's like, ah, he's like screaming as he gets pulled up into the sky. It was pretty funny. At 1 hour, 9 minutes and 15 seconds over here. And this is Mac. He's spotted the predator, and Dylan, which Carl Weathers' character is trying to find Mac, and you hear over here. And this is really cool because when Dylan first hears it, it's kind of dispersed throughout your room. It's a little bit off to the left, but it's not, you can't really tell where it came from. But then as Dylan is looking and closing in on where Mac's whisper is coming from, the sound becomes more accurately placed in your room too. So just like if you're in a crowd or something and you're looking for somebody and you hear them, but you're like, where was that? And you start, and as you hone in on them, the sound becomes more accurate. I thought that was a pretty cool little effect there that I don't know if they meant that. I don't know if it really happened. That's how I interpreted it. And it felt that way. And I watched the scene a couple of times to make sure. So check that out and see if you get that same effect too. At 1 hour, 14 minutes and 5 seconds, Dylan. So Carl Weathers' character is killed and he lets out a giant scream. But with each change of the camera shot, the scream moves. It starts, of course, the predator kills Dylan, Carl Weathers, cuts his arm off. Then he comes up to him and he stabs him with his like fangs or whatever that he has, like kind of like Wolverine fangs, come off of his fist. And he lifts Carl Weathers up and he lets out a scream, and it's right there on your screen. And the sound is coming from the front of the room. It's coming from like pretty much center channel, maybe a little extra to the left, but it's anchored to the front. Then the screen changes. The camera goes to Arnold and a group crossing a ravine on this giant down tree, and the sound becomes more distant, but off to the right side of your room. And now in my room, it felt like it was more at the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock part of my room, off to the right. But then the camera quickly, it jumps back even more, like further away, same position, same view, but now pulls away. And the sound becomes even more distant, and now it moves to the right rear of your room, almost like 5 o'clock, not directly behind you at 6 o'clock, off to your right, maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It was pretty cool. And it's like, if you start the scene again, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's cool how the sound moves from the three screams you get move from three different spots down the right side of the room. It's not a clean pan. It literally jumps from those three spots. It's pretty cool. At 1 hour, 17 minutes and 23 seconds, a waterfall. And this is a scene where Arnold goes over the waterfall, and it's kind of where you realize again that you need an updated sound mix. Yeah, the deep bass that could have been added here would have made this scene really jump out. As it is, it's okay. It's a pretty cool scene, but there's some loud bass, but there's no tactile feel here. And I've been to Niagara Falls, and when you're standing at the base of the falls or you're watching that go, you can feel that. You can feel it in your chest, like all of those sound waves coming off of that, off of the falls like that. I've gone behind the falls. I don't know if you've ever had that opportunity, but you go behind and you could come out, and just the entire time you're in those tunnels getting to behind on the Canadian side, it's just reverberating all of that bass at you, and you can feel it. And our theaters have that ability. They have the ability to reproduce those sound waves and give you that feeling. And there's so much here, and it's just loud. In this scene here, it's just loud, but there's no feel. And I really would have liked to have this be a little bit more tactile. At 1 hour, 19 minutes and 20 seconds, the Predator. And this is where the Predator comes out of the water. And the image quality here is just awesome. When we first see Arnold entangled in the roots, there's a fog flowing past him that creates an awesome depth. And again, a 3D-like image that, because of the nice gradation of grays and deep blacks, we really get that sense of depth. It's like I said earlier, this is so, it's so nice getting that feeling from a movie from the 80s. And it looked really, really good. And then switching back and forth from the Predator view was really cool too. But I think this was all enhanced by the 4K and HDR rendering. It just looks so good. The detail in the Predator himself looks pretty amazing as well. When he's just walking up, and this is the first time you really see his full body and him walking through, coming out of the water. Just a lot more fun to this scene than I remember in previous viewings. It just really, really cool. Especially, like I said, that fog and smoke, and it just looks so good. At 1 hour, 28 minutes and 40 seconds, firefight. So Arnold fires an explosive arrow at the Predator on the log, and he missed him. But he explodes on the log. But what we get out of that is this back and forth of bright, loud explosions. The entire buildup to the scene has been Arnold prepping in the dark. So you get so much more. I could talk about the HDR or what I perceive to be the HDR in this all day long. But you've been built up to this, and now you get in some big explosions, and it's just really nice. There's one scene at exactly 1 hour, 29 minutes even, which silhouettes the Predator. They pull way back and you see the Predator standing across this tree, a downed tree, and the smoke in the air and the depth of field. It's just, he's such a small piece. He's silhouetted, but he's such a small part of your screen. But I thought this, with the sparks going off from the different explosions and the sounds and the, but I thought the image looked really, really nice. A lot of brights to it, but a lot of dark, some deep darks, but so much gradation in between your brightest and your darkest scene. And like I said, the sound too is going off all around your room because it's almost like the Predator's firing blindly, just looking for Arnold. He's just firing everywhere. So you're getting sounds going everywhere around your room. And their battle leading up to the end of this is pretty much all the way through, is filled with a lot of great sounds, a lot of great images. And that really, it really made watching this movie a blast. There's so much going on here. It is textbook 80s movie. But the last scene of note is 1 hour, 40 minutes, and 30 seconds is the laugh. So when the Predator is getting ready to explode, he lets out the laugh he either recorded earlier or has the capability to mimic. And that's what was pretty cool, because he didn't have his helmet on here. So he just start, it's like he's talking. So he has the ability to mimic, I guess, like how we sound. But either way, the laugh and the sound fill your room, and it's really, really cool how it spreads out around your room. It starts at a little towards the front of the room, but does move through your entire room, filling the room, and then fades off as the score fills in, and then you get the actual explosion on the screen when the screen goes white. And then you get the mushroom cloud that they show, and that was atrocious. I really didn't like that. I've done better mushroom clouds when I was a kid in an oil painting. It was really bad. Anyways, the sound could have been better. The bass, anyways, I thought the discrete sound around the room was pretty good, was really good. But the bass could have been deeper, but it is still such a fun movie. I had such a fun time with this. If you're a fan of the 80s action movies, it's a must have, because this is one of those movies that when you mention the 80s, you talk about like a Terminator, you talk Rambo, you talk Predator, you talk Die Hard, and these are the movies that... They're the classics for the 80s action movies. So this truly is a popcorn movie, and it reminds us of how much fun going to the movies really is. It's been a while since we had a fun movie like this. I think we're getting too technical nowadays, and we're losing sight of the fun that we have. And this is one of those movies that maybe can bring you back to that. The home theater viewing time is only an hour and 43 minutes. So it moves along at a good pace. Had a lot of fun with it. Hope you do too. But either way, thanks for listening. Hope you had a good time. I will be back next week. Not sure what I'm doing. Maybe the Zapedi, maybe another movie. I'm playing it by ear. I'm trying to have some fun in my theater instead of being so technical, like I just said. So, but in the meantime, you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Send me, you know, featured theaters that you, a theater you'd like me to feature, or some scenes you'd like me to talk about. Whatever you're doing in your theater, whatever was fun that you wanted to talk about, we'll check it out. And go to Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. That's the part of the network that I'm a part of. Check out all the podcasts there. I'm sure there's something else that you may enjoy. You can go there and subscribe and help support all the podcasts. So that would be cool. And it's been a while since I've had a review. Nobody's reviewed. I haven't had a 5-star review in a while on iTunes. Or if you submit a review elsewhere, you can just email that to me as well. Screen grab it. Let me know how you supported the podcast. That would be cool, because those reviews really help. I post those on the website too. That's how I build my brand. So that will do it for this week. Thank you very much. Hope you guys had fun. I will see you next week. Until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.